Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Author Sarah Farazan tackles some pretty tough subjects in her young adult fiction. Her debut novel centered on two girls whose love for each other put them in danger in conservative Tehran, Iran. Her latest book is called Here to Stay. It takes on the issues of Islamophobia and cyberbullying at a private school near Boston. The hero is a high school junior named Bijan. He's of Middle Eastern descent, and his sudden stardom on the basketball court has some ugly consequences. Sarah Farazan is the child of parents who came to the U.S. from Iran. I asked her what she and that student, Bijan, have in common.
We went to similar high schools. He doesn't go to my high school. It's fiction. But we do go to a predominantly white and affluent private school.
As you did.
As I did, which I was very lucky and privileged. And so we have that experience. I played basketball until it was clear I wasn't going to get much taller. So I should give it up. We both love comic books. We both like women, but have difficulty talking to them. I've gotten a little better, but he needs a little help. He is of mixed heritage. His dad is Jordanian. His mother is Persian, but grew up here.
So you placed Bijan directly on the basketball court. Bijan is a star player. He's realized to be a star player really quickly and kind of rises in social status very quickly. But then things change. What happens in his school?
Someone doesn't like all the newfound attention he's getting. And
one of his colleagues in school.
Right, right. Yeah. We don't know who sent the email, but has created a photoshopped image of him to look like a terrorist holding an AK-47.
With Bijan's face.
Right, right.
It,
yes.
Photoshopped on it.
Yeah, and has sent it anonymously to the student body. So the school is trying to figure out who has sent it. His mother and other parents are very upset and want to figure out how to fix the culture of the school and make sure he's okay. Other students that are behind him and allies sort of inadvertently want to make him a poster child for something, and he just wants to be a kid.
And so he's basically saying, you know, look, I don't really want to be the poster boy for international politics.
Right. And people have all sorts of rumors and gossip about him. You know, some people saying like, well, where is he really from? And what do we know about his family? And all these kind of questions all at once that he's never had to deal with and shouldn't have to, and no kid should really have to.
Did you have to deal with it?
I sort of did the thing where when 9/11 happened and everyone was very scared, I didn't like what I was hearing about sort of all this rage, like hate crimes on the radio. And so I sort of made it a point to say, please don't get caught up in racial profiling and this sort of thing. And then when I wrote an opinion piece for the school paper, they called me Arab American, which I'm not. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
You're Muslim.
I grew up pretty secular, but yeah, technically. But then I had to write a follow-up to that opinion piece saying, that's really great, but I'm actually Persian American.
Right.
And this is the same as equating a Japanese person to a Korean person. So it was just kind of, I think, people just didn't know what to do and then started asking not invasive questions, but sort of like they'd never really thought of it before.
You call this polite racism, and this is something that Bijan faces as well. What's the difference between polite and impolite racism?
I think most people get the impression that, you know, racism's terrible anyway, and there's no really fully polite racism. But there's a difference between painting something on your house or throwing a rock in a window versus a microaggression or saying something that's sort of a little barbed or made to sort of other someone.
So how does Bijan in the book realize that, understand that?
I think he's had to deal with sort of, it's inferred that he's sort of had to deal with stuff before. It's just never been as viral as he does in the book. And he, for the most part, is pretty cool and calm and collect. And stands up for other people in his sphere and himself. But there are other times when his internal monologue, you can tell that he's really hurting. And I think that's important too, especially for boys, where they might say like, you know, sup, or yeah, how was school? Fine, you know, but inside there's a lot of other stuff going on. So I tried to have him have a pretty rich inner life.
So he puts up with the polite racism And then, you know, you get into the idea of cyberbullying, and then things become exacerbated and get even more painful. When you were writing this, how did you decide whether to make some of the characters, the Caucasian characters specifically in the book, deplorable or not deplorable? I mean, what, you know, what in your own experience made you decide, well, maybe this person is uninformed and this person is racist?
For me personally, it was really difficult to write this book because I do want to get away from books that are sort of like where the character has to deal with Islamophobia. I'd like the character to just have an adventure or, you know, be the hero and, you know, get to do stuff that other main characters get to do.
It's funny. So just like you don't want, just like the character doesn't want to be the poster person, you don't want to be the poster author.
Well, no, but for all kids, like, I just want them to be able to be like, I am the basketball hero and this is, you know, what I've achieved. But I did want to sort of address this thing that really has bothered me for quite some time. And it's not that I think that there are certain people who can't combat racism or get over it maybe after the book finishes. But for that time and space, I want to talk about things that I think young people are dealing with and maybe don't get a lot of media time.
Mm-hmm. What's the payoff for you? Is it just getting the book out there? Do you want to hear from people who recognize themselves on one side or the other in the book, for better or worse?
I am concerned with people who maybe feel that the book doesn't represent them fully, but it's just one story and one perspective. I do hope that he is a main character that maybe people were not expecting and really love. I just want this kid to really, even though he's fictional, I'm very fond of him. I didn't like making him hurt a lot of times, but I know that if maybe people read about him hurting, they'll hurt real people less.
If you were, I mean, this is a young adult book. If you were to kind of work up a lesson plan for this and you wanted a conversation to be started among students, what would be the theme of that conversation?
I would say, what does it take to find one's voice in prejudiced times? And how can you stand up for yourself and others when that's really difficult? Which is a great hope, but we'll see how that pans out.
Sarah Farazan, thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.